Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Hope you're still basking in the afterglow of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the Easter Bunny packs up his eggs and leaves town, the resurrection remains throughout all eternity. Ah, friend, it's good to know Jesus as your personal Savior today. And if you don't know Him, would you please stay tuned to this broadcast? We believe that as we study the Word of God, that you will discover things about the God who created you, who sent His Son to save you, and loves you with all of His heart. Amen. So please stay tuned. And we've been listening to fine Christian music right here on WMAF. And you know, I've been asking people to come to our website if you would like to visit with us, know more about us. I've been a pastor here of the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, where this broadcast originates, for going on our 37th year now. Getting ready to celebrate next month our 47th wedding anniversary. God has been good to this preacher and his family. I'm not saying we haven't been through trials and tests. I'm saying that God has been faithful. And because of His faithfulness, we're standing today for Him. We love Him, and we love His Word. We love His people. And we pray that right there in Madison, that through the anointing upon the Word of God itself and the anointing to preach the Word, that you can also sense the love of God for you right where you are today. Listen to me. God cares about you enough that He would give His Son for you. If you were the only person on this planet that needed salvation, Jesus would have come, shed His blood in order to redeem you. You are very, very important to God today. So we're going to bring you a message that I believe will bring hope into your life. In fact, we're going to talk about rebuilding hope in the midst of hopelessness when things seem hopeless. And we're going to talk to you particularly about that cornerstone of our faith, to build hope in the midst of hopelessness, to have hope in the midst of hopelessness. And that's God's faithfulness, which becomes faith's anchor. It's kind of a double-titled message today. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 17 through 23. And I want to kind of set this up. Jeremiah has, in the book of Jeremiah, preceding the book of Lamentations, has ministered God's word to the nation of Israel, the covenant people. They have, by and large, rejected that word. And now God's judgments, God's corrective judgments are in the land. Their enemies are prevailing over them. And the situation seems, by all the outward circumstances, absolutely hopeless. It seems that God has forsaken Israel because Israel has forsaken God. And now there is no one to turn to in the time of such great upheaval and trouble. And now the book of Lamentations is written, and Lamentations just more or less means the book of the blues. He's lamenting over the fact that God's word rejected has brought a devastation to a nation, and it seems that God has forsaken them, and it seems that there is no hope. But let me tell you something about the goodness of God today as we study this scripture. There's always hope because there's always mercy in Him. That's part of His character of love and the expression of it to a fallen world and fallen men and women in it, just like you and me. So stay tuned today, because if you seem to be in a hopeless situation, God has a message for you today. Listen carefully. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 17 through 23. And this is a part of that ache in the heart of Jeremiah. Listen to him, but also his hope is here in these few verses. It says in Lamentations 3:17, "And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity, And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Listen carefully, friend. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise God. I want to define a couple of words that we found in this scripture for you. The one word is wormwood. He said, remember in mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Wormwood is a metaphor for bitter calamity and sorrow. Another word, he says, my soul is humbled within me. And that is not the good, virtuous sense of humility that we would think of. This word humble means to bow down in the Hebrew, to sink down, a depression of the mind. I don't have to tell you that there are situations in life that can be overwhelming to the point of hopelessness, circumstances that have the potential to crush us under the weight of the burden. It is in these times when faith needs an anchor. Let me read this from the paraphrase. I like this particular paraphrase from the NLT. Listen to it. Peace has been stripped away, and I've forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out. My splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time. As I grieve over my loss, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By His mercies we've been kept from complete destruction. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh each day. God's faithfulness, friend, is faith's anchor. I preach a lot about having faith in God's faithfulness rather than faith in our faith. Because if all you have is faith in your ability to believe, your ability to stand strong, if you don't believe perfectly, and if you shake in the time of trouble, then you have no recourse but to enter into hopelessness. But if your faith is in His faithfulness, then you will be able to weather every and any storm that touches your life, regardless of your shaky faith or your shaky knees. Someone said, when your legs start shaking, fall on your knees. That's where Christians find their greatest strength, when we trust exclusively and wholly in the Lord. Praise God. Let me define faithfulness. This word means firmness. When it says, great is thy faithfulness about God, fidelity, steadiness, steadfastness. This word pictures God as one upon whom we can depend always. We can be sure that when we face the storms, trials, and valleys of life, God will ever prove Himself to be steadfast and faithful to you and me. To put it very simply, you can count on the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 6:17 through 19 talks about this. It says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that is within the veil. Immutability of His counsel hinges upon the immutability of God's own character and word. And that word immutable in the Greek means fixed, unalterable, or literally unchanging. Our topic today in theological terms is referred to as the immutability of God. something is mutable if it's subject to change in any degree. To be immutable means to be unchanging and unchangeable. Here's a working definition. God does not, cannot change in His basic character. Nothing that God has ever said about Himself will be modified. Nothing the inspired prophets and apostles have said about Him will ever be rescinded. His immutability guarantees this. Here's another definition that captures the depth and beauty of God's unchanging character. Listen, all that God is, He's always been. And all that He's been and is, He ever will be. You know, the New Testament says of Jesus that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think one of the things we need in all of our church services, preachers, is to recognize that the Christ that walked the shores of Galilee and walked upon the water, that Jesus, hallelujah, of the first century church, and that Jesus that walked here upon this earth, He walks among the lampstands, according to the book of Revelation, the churches. Jesus wants to be recognized as the same yesterday, today, and forever. I personally don't believe it's enough just to go to church and read the Scriptures. I believe we need an encounter with the living God, and I believe our faith has to be, yes, based upon the Word of God, but I believe the God of the Word wants to manifest Himself when we assemble in His name. Didn't the Bible say, if two or more of you gather together in My name, there am I in the midst of them? If He is in the midst of us by the Holy Spirit manifesting and mediating His presence, then I believe we should have church and not just go through a religious routine. We have seen some mighty answers to prayer very recently. Oh, I'm so glad we're not just studying ancient history when we open the Bible, but a God who the Scripture said of Him that He is a very present help in the time of any trouble. Listen again, all that God is, He has always been, and all that He has been, He will ever be. Praise God. I think church has changed, but God hasn't changed. Religious, theological ideas have changed, but God has not changed because God cannot change. He said in the Old Testament, I am the Lord God of Israel, and I change not. That's why salvation can be so sure today, because the God who promised doesn't change. Praise the Lord. You can also use the word always to express this truth about God. God is always wise, always sovereign, always faithful, always just, always holy, and always loving. Whatever God is, He always is. There are no sometimes attributes of God. All of His attributes are always attributes. He always is what He is. I'll just give you the Scripture for what we quoted earlier. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of God's faithfulness, His promises never change. I want to say that again. Because of God's faithfulness, His promises never change. Hebrews 6:13 through 15 says, For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let's look at the promise in Genesis 15, verse 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels that shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, toward the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. God really loves it when we take him at his word. Listen, you can't acknowledge him as God on one hand and then doubt his word on the other. If he's God, he's God Almighty. Not only has he got the power to keep his promises, he is holy in his character. He doesn't lie because he cannot lie. And therefore, Abraham counted him faithful. Faith is so strong when God gives a promise, but when time passes and circumstances go against the very thing that we're believing God for, faith must have an anchor in order to hold on. God's promises, friend, are unchanging because God is unchanging. Therefore, hope can be recovered in seemingly hopeless situations. Listen to Romans chapter 4, 17 through 22. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Listen to that. Against hope. In other words, in the face of seemingly hopelessness, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want to stop right there and tell you that it was a long time coming, this promise of God. And God didn't bring it to pass when everything was, lined up and when they were young. Listen, his wife, Sarah, Abraham's wife, Sarah, was barren. She couldn't have children. And now she's 90 years old, past the age of childbearing. And now Abraham is no young fella either. He's 100 years old. But he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither his own body. He staggered not, verse 20 said, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I want to look at that word able. He was able to perform. We all know God has the power. If we believe in God at all, and we believe he created heaven and earth and all things that in them are, we know that God has the power. The issue of our faith isn't so much does God have the power, but will he use that power in our behalf? Will he keep his promises? Can we count on it when it looks like everything is going against what God promised? Can we still stand on his word and stagger not at his promise? Praise God. I wish I could tell you today I've never staggered at the promises. I have staggered at them. But I come back to God's holy word. And the word doesn't just tell us about the promises, but about the person who made the promise. Every time I get back in the Bible, I find a God who never changes. A God who literally watches over his word to perform it. The scriptures tell us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will abide forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. This word, he was able to perform, means literally he was able and faithful to perform it. Sarah had the same basis, believing God's promises in seemingly hopeless circumstances. By the way, as we read this, I want you to look for something. These were not people born with some innate ability to believe God and not stagger. These are people who learned something about God. They had a revelation of something about God that they knew, and they took it to heart, and they rested their faith upon what they knew about God's faithfulness, His unchanging character. Listen to Hebrews 11:11-12. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Praise God. You know, it didn't say, so Sarah received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child being past age because she had such great faith and she had always... No, she judged him faithful that promised. I want to read that again. She judged him faithful that promised. That's faith in God's faithfulness, not faith in our faith. Faith in your faith, as I said before, can be pretty easily shaken. Faith in God's faithfulness is an anchor for your soul, even when everything, including you, friend, are shaking. Praise the Lord. We need to take a new stand to get a new grip and hold tight to God's promises, because God is faithful. Romans 4 tells us that Abraham believed against all hope. He knew the odds were against him. He was almost 100. I love Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Abraham had dialed in and zeroed in on God's promise. He knew that God would never change what he had promised to accomplish. You and I can break our promises all the time and let each other down, but God can always be counted on to keep His promises, because He is always our unchanging God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Word of God has such capacity to bring faith alive within you and within me. The Bible literally said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't mean as we read the Bible as some mystical book that some mystical force develops within us. I really don't like to hear faith referred to as a force. Let's leave that to Hollywood and Star Wars. It's not the force that is with me to help me overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's the Father. Hallelujah. Can you say amen out there? Somebody. I believe I could hear you all the way here in Tampa. I'm glad to have Jesus as my elder brother, and God is my Father, and the Holy Spirit is my comforter. I'm glad to know that my God is my shield and my buckler, and His faithfulness constitutes my shield of faith. Praise God. And it's not that I don't believe, but my faith is not in my faith. My faith is in His faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Because God never changes, His purposes will never change either. Hebrews 6 says, and verse 17 says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath. God's purposes never changed. We see this in verse 17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God wants us to understand His purposes are never subject to change. When Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac in Genesis 22, Abraham obeyed and was about to slay his son when God stopped him. After Abraham is found to be obedient, God took an oath. Listen to what Genesis 22:16 says. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. Why does God need to take an oath to show that His purposes never change? Isn't His word enough? Yes, it is enough. Actually, that is in fact what an oath is. It's a confirmation of the integrity of God's word. God's purposes will never change. How do you know, preacher? Because we have His word on it. And because He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. He promised to keep His promise. Isn't that incredible? The God of the universe promised to keep His promise. And that's why we can stand on His promise. Oh, we used to sing that great camp meeting song, Standing on the Promises of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 2:13 says, For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I love the New International. It says to will and to act according to His good purpose. When God's word is deposited in the good ground of our hearts and held there by faith, God works in us. God brings His purposes to fruition. Rest assured, God has a great plan for your life. He's unchanging. He's relentless. He is purpose-driven, so we may have a purpose-driven life. Praise God. I like Philippians 1 and verse 6. Listen, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That paraphrase reads this way, There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day that Jesus Christ appears. Praise the Lord. God is faithful to His promise, and He is faithful to perform His purposes if we will simply ascribe to Him that part of His character, that unchanging nature of His love and His commitment to you and to me. You know, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. Friend, that literally translates, I will never, no, never leave you. And that is the promise of God through Jesus Christ to each of us today. God has not changed. The world is changing. People change. The culture is changing. The church is changing. But Jesus Christ, friend, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can be saved today. You can be delivered from sin's power today. And Satan's strongholds can fall in your life today. You can be healed today because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever and ever. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you today to invite Him into your heart. You will find that the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee will come into your heart and into your life. The Holy Spirit is here to mediate the presence of Jesus, to testify of Him to you and to me. Would you not run another step, not live another day in hopelessness? Would you accept Jesus right now as your Lord and your personal Savior? Repent of your sins. He's waiting for you. He will forgive you. He will pardon. You know why? His mercies are new every morning. And He is faithful. And if you're a Christian today, and you're facing hopeless circumstances, I want you to trust and rely on the faithfulness of your God. Your Lord will not forsake you. His word will not return to Him void. Take a new grip today. Take a new stand today. Lift your hands right where you are and praise Him in the midst of the trouble. And watch God deliver you. We love you today. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.